Let's look to the future. Again, it's so good to see you in the house of God this morning. We will have those visitors that will fill that visitor's card in the back of the pew and drop it in the offering plate, which will be located at the exit doors as we leave the building this morning. Last week, we preached a message entitled A Day of Deliverance. We looked at the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence that was written 244 years ago and signed on July the 4th, 1776. And then we looked at conditions in this world today. We looked at conditions back then. Then we looked at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lastly, we looked at Coronation Day, a day of ascension. Coronation, a day of crowning. That will be a glorious day. But this morning, we're going to look at a scripture this morning found in Mark chapter 13. That's where we'll begin our study this morning. Then we'll go to Matthew chapter 24. There's corresponding scriptures in Luke chapter 21. We won't have time to deal with that, but it's all about the same subject, and we will announce the subject right now in a few minutes. Look at Matthew chapter 24, and we'll look at the last part of verse 14. Now let's read that whole verse. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Title message this morning, and then shall the end come. That's just what Jesus said in the precious word, Matthew 24, 14. And he tells a lot. There's so much prophecy in the Word of God. A good portion of God's Word deals with prophecy. And then of that prophecy, a good portion deals with the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Very much of it consists of the end times and those things that has happened, that is happening, and that will happen before he comes. We're just going to take his text this morning and look at that. But before we look at the 24th chapter, I want to turn over to Mark chapter 13, and we'll read the first 8 verses. Mark chapter 13. Let's look at those familiar verses. God being our helper this morning. But before I begin the reading of God's word, I want to pray. Lord Jesus, we come to this hour, our devotion, hour of consecration, and help our hearts be pure this morning by the washing, the water, of the Word of God. Help our hearts be as one. For those that may be here this morning that have never surrendered, have never asked you to forgive their sins, come in their heart, let this be the day that deep conviction comes upon them. Because, Father, you told us that you're soon coming. The day of the Lord draweth nigh. But until then, we realize you have spoken to us in your word about, and then the end shall come. And we're not there yet, but we're fastly approaching that day. And you told us clearly in your word some things that would happen. And let our hearts not be alarmed. Let our hearts not be grieved, but let our hearts be excited about the coming of the Lord. And while these things are coming upon us, you told us what we can do. We can be a testimony in this world of the good grace of God that's getting us through this. Lord, I pray for everything I say this morning to be in love, the truth of God's word in love. Help me, Father, not to say anything that would hurt or bring reproach upon the name of Jesus. And help us, Father. And I pray, God, that Holy Ghost would just take charge of this service. We thank you for the song service thus far, how it's uplifted us and given their hearts the calm assurance that you're soon coming and we're soon going. But until then, we're in this world, and you tell us this morning about some things that's going to come to pass. Let our hearts not be troubled during this message, but let our hearts be excited. What can we do to bring glory and honor to you in these days in which we live while we're waiting upon your soon coming. In Jesus' name, with thanksgiving, amen. Mark chapter 13. Look at these familiar verses. And as he went out of the temple, one of his disciples saith to him, Master, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here? And Jesus answered, said to him, Seest thou these great buildings? There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives over against the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled? And Jesus answered them, began to say, Take heed, lest any man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And when you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, be ye not troubled, for such things must needs be. But the end shall not be yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be earthquakes in divers places, and there shall be famines and troubles. These are the beginning of sorrows. Let's get the picture as Jesus was in the temple. And many in the temple, the religious crowd of that day, everywhere he went, was seeking to stone him and to kill him. And the temple, now imagine this, the temple of God and religion had taken it over. They were not there to worship the King of Kings or the God of glory, because to worship the God of glory, you have to worship the Son of Man, Christ Jesus. They were not there for that occasion. So the Jewish nation and the Gentile nation, as we're going to see in Matthew chapter 24. And then we're going to look at the church of God, you and I, that's born again and our sins are gone. He discusses all those in this passage. But then he tells the disciples, they're looking at the beautiful building. No doubt it was the most splendorous thing in the whole country. And all the marble and all the gold-laden stones. And they were looking at it. And they made comment to Jesus as seemingly he was leaving the temple, leaving that religious crowd that was there for the wrong reasons, selling and buying and everything else except worshiping the God, because they're not going to worship Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Therefore, they can't worship God. They were ignorant about that fact, no doubt, because they were no doubt looking at that temple. And even the disciples were looking at the temple. Why shouldn't they be? It's a place down through the years that had been dedicated to the things of God. And Jesus told them on two occasions, my house is a house of prayer, but you've made a den of thieves. So he left that place. And as they were remarking to Jesus about what a magnificent, beautiful building it was, and it was, but they had their eyes on the wrong thing. Now Jesus has said, oh, it's magnificent, all right, but let's look into the future. There's coming a day that not one stone will be left upon another. And seemingly they're marching up to the Mount of Olives now. And these disciples asked him privately when they got there, when shall these things be? And when you ask Jesus a question, and not only will he answer that question, but he, if your heart's desire, will go deeper and fuller and tell you even more and more about the things that will be. So Jesus says, even though these magnificent stones, and I'm sure as he was telling him, these stones, every one, will be thrown down. And then, of course, history proved that to be true. In the year 70 AD, Rome came in. And despite all the great walls, and they say some of those stones were like 38 feet long, 16 or so feet wide, weighed 90 or more tons. And the disciples not only looked at beauty in those magnificent, rightly hewn and laid stones, but they were looking at all the beauty there is. And Jesus said, now think a minute. I'm telling you, don't get your eyes on the temple. A temple is a place of worship. But our bodies is the temple of the Lord. In these days, we preached on it last week, thank God for America. And a lot of people have said, and probably rightly so, America may not be mentioned in the Word of God as such. But all, now, we say that we're a godly nation, and we say one nation under God. And it was founded that way, but we've drifted far, far. The temple was built to glorify God, but now they've drifted far, far away from that. And Jesus says, it's going to be a day when it's all going to come to naught. So let's turn the Bibles over to Matthew chapter 24, and we're going to look at the first 15 or so verses. And we're going to see, first of all, a scene we've already looked at just a minute ago, that they are in the temple, they're leaving the temple, and they're going up. Now they're looking over the temple, beautiful temple. And no doubt their hearts were sad. Let's compare it to modern day America. We preached last week the wonderful Declaration of Independence, and then we had the wonderful Constitution that I believe and all of us believe God had a hand in it. He orchestrated, I believe, it wasn't inspired necessarily, but God used men of old. And then we had this wonderful Bill of Rights, the First Amendment, free speech, and freedom of worship. And we as Americans look at those great truths and we say, America will never falter, America will never fail. Why? Because we have the Constitution, but we see as Jesus. Now, Jesus is going to describe what happened to the temple, but see, it's more than that. He's looking all the way, and even though America may not be mentioned as a nation, the things of America are certainly mentioned as a nation because we're part of this world, and he's talking about all the nations now. Let's read the text together in Matthew chapter 24. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple. And his disciples came to him for to shew him the building of the temple. And we look back at our great Constitution. Thank God for it. And maybe we got too much faith in the Constitution. Jesus, because the Constitution, rightly written and rightly devised and rightly carried out, is great. And if it was carried out, it would be our protection. But as we know, it's only carried out according to those that are in charge. And we have faltered, we have failed, and did not Jesus cast out the ones that sold in the temple? So you see, in these days, Jesus said to them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another, and shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us what shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of the coming and of the end of the world. Jesus rightly divides the truth and tells us this. Verse 4, and Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. He's telling us again. For nations shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. The word sorrows interpreted means pains. Sorrows and pains, like a woman's birth pain. You women that's had children can relate to these. They're birth pains. It no doubt starts slowly. I'm not one to try to say what kind of pains you have, but I've heard among my wife and other women that the pains start and they get more severe. And he says these are just the beginning of these pains, what's going to happen upon the earth. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, And ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And there then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whosoever readeth, let him understand. Let's look briefly as we go through the scenes in Jerusalem, religious crowd. But he left that religious crowd and went up to the Mount of Olives, and there he spoke to his disciples, recorded in Luke 21, Mark 13, and Matthew 24. And he tells about the end and all the things that's going to happen. Now look, he's talking about three different nations. There is a Gentile nation. We still have that today. All the world that aren't Jews are the Gentiles. He's speaking to them. And then he's speaking to the Jews, because that is the nation he came to and they rejected him. But then he speaks about the kingdom of God. Those that are born again in all nations, no doubt, there is people that's saved and delivered unto the safekeeping of the Lord Jesus Christ until he comes and gets them. Names recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life, whether it's in denomination, it doesn't matter. If they're born again, he's speaking to that. Three classes of people, and only three, Gentiles, Jews. And then, of course, many Jews are saved too, but many are not. And then he's speaking to us this morning. Let's look what he is saying to him. Verses 4 through 8. We see, first of all, the things that's going to come is the panic and the panorama that's going to come. All the things that's going to come and the end times, and that means a sad time for many. And he tells very clearly about six different things that we're going to major on a little bit. And he says what's going to happen in these end times. And he says, first of all, there's going to be dishonesty. There has been ever since Cain, of course, slew Abel, his brother. And sin came in when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden. And sin has been rampant ever since. Dishonesty. But in the last days, he says, it's going to get even worse. And then he says it's going to be devious. You don't know who to trust. But they will say one thing, and yet they'll do another thing. Devious, deceit, and corruption is in their midst. And it's always been, but in the last days, he says, it's going to excel and get worse and worse and worse. We've always had those deceitful people. And seemingly, a lot of people follow them. Remember in your history that you had in school, Joseph Stalin, how he was one that had deceived so many people, and Adolf Hitler, how all those people followed him, and millions of people have been slaughtered. They were deceitful. They were out to tear down society, and that generation has not all died away. We still have people in the world and in America that's trying to deceive. And he says it's going to get worse. Worse than Stalin and Hitler. Then we had in our lifetime Saddam Hussein, who killed thousands and thousands of his people. But then we have people in our day and in America and all across the world. So Jesus says it's going to escalate. The love of many is waxing cold. Religion in every form. Nation against nation. Families against families. Citizens against citizens, and it's rampantly in our day. We've seen it getting worse and worse. Not only that, look at verse 6 through 7. He says there's going to be disturbances. Verses 6 and 7, we'll read again in your hearing. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Imagine as those disciples now are listening to Jesus. Her mind's no doubt are still upon the temple. We just can't believe. Now, we know it's going to come to happen because Jesus said so. Well, if Jesus' passage and verbiage and prophecy came to pass on the temple, and it did, all the stones thrown off and the things that would burn was burned by Rome in AD 70, if that came to pass and it did, then everything he said is going to come to pass. And it's going to be worse and worse and worse. There's going to be disturbances. But look at verse 7. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines. Preached last Sunday, there's a famine right now in the world for food, yes. But there's a greater famine for hearing of the word of God. And Jesus said it would be like that. In the last days, people would have itching ears that want to hear what they want to hear. Already made up their minds what they're going to believe. And no matter what Jesus says, but listen, Jesus is, his word's true. Let every man be a liar. And then the last part is, and earthquakes in diverse places. If you read the report, and you can go back and check it out, the earthquakes that man knows about for the last 100 or so years has gotten more and more escalated and more, and it's happening more and more. Why? Because Jesus said it would, because he knows the future. He saw every one of us before we got here. And as we've already heard from this pulpit this morning, that Jesus knew before the foundation of the world, that Brother Randy said, that there would be a people, and Jesus Christ would be King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he would send his Son to a world that wasn't even established yet to die for our sins. Jesus knows prophecy. And when he says these things are going to happen and escalate, then he knows what he's talking about. But look at verse, the last part of 7, and there's going to be all the things that he's already said, but devastation. Devastation, we see that in the world today. Look at the last part of that verse. And pestilence, pandemics, viruses, always had them, sure we have. And we've read about them. We didn't live through them back in the Spanish flu and back the polio and all those things, and it wiped out thousands and thousands of people and millions of people. But you and I are facing one today that's more scary perhaps than anything that's ever been, even with all our modern medicine. God's all trembling. And Jesus said in the last days, don't be deceived. Perilous times shall come. And all these other things are happening, so this had to happen too. He already said it would. But then look at verse 8. All these are the beginning of sorrows or the beginning of pains, the things we're going through today. We don't know if he's coming today, tomorrow, or next year. But he says when these things happen, it is the beginning. He could come, and no man knows when he's coming. Be ye therefore ready, for the hour ye think not. Then shall the Son of Man appear. And we have to live every day of our life because these things have always been going on. But he says it's escalating, it's getting worse and worse. But not only that, the demolition, look at the next verse, the demolition, how people are tearing down and destroying. You know, you build up and wars, one nation comes in and tears down another nation, and they, even though you bomb it, you rebuild it, and you destroy it, and you go down streets, and you burn, you loot, and all these things are happening. We never would have thought it happened. That's supposed to be in a third world country, isn't it? But Jesus says, all nations, all Gentile nations, and we have far more unsaved people in the world and in America today than we have in the family of God. We are the minority, but that's okay. We in the minority can lift up our heads. Our redemption draweth nigh. See, we're seeing today that, yeah, the Jews and even the disciples seemingly had their faith in the temple. And we've got our faith in the Constitution. And I'm not belittling that. Thank God for it. If it wasn't for that, we wouldn't be here today. But it's trying to be destroyed hour by hour, minute by minute. And all the past of great America is trying to be erased from our mind. Aren't you proud they got to some of us too late? Thank God for the America we grew up in. Thank God for the freedom that we had. The freedom that we still enjoy. It's not over, folks. We still can come to church. We can worship. We can lift up the name of Jesus. And even when things go bad and if we're arrested, he said that we can use that as a testimony to them. Look at the book of Acts. Now, remember what Jesus says? He's talking about the temple. And then he says, all these things are going to happen, the immolation and the damage, and then the pestilence and the pandemic. Let's go over to the next verse, and we're going to look a little bit more in detail how the Lord wants us to see this morning. There's going to be a pursuit and lack of protection. He talked about that. Look at verse 9 and 10. You see, all these things are happening, and we've always thought we would be protected. Well, now remember, the Jews had those great walls, and on all those walls, there was like over 90 watchtowers. Someone in those watchtowers looking for the enemy. But if they got by the first wall, there was the inner wall. And on the inner wall, there was many more dozens of watchtowers with people in them. The enemy is not going to come to us. We're going to spot them coming and be ready. Will the watchtowers we have in America or the churches for the living God stand ye on the tower and hurl out a warning? Jesus is coming, and America has missed the mark. We have strayed from the teachings of Christ and their early father. And they're looking at the temple. It's going to be destroyed. And then he says all these things. Look at verse 9 and verse 10. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. All my life, we've read, and our missionaries comes back from China and from other countries, and you see how the Muslims and other people that hate Christ are killing our missionaries, are burning churches. That was third world. We're protected by the Constitution, and we are. But it seems to be not working perfectly, isn't it? Could it be that Jesus is letting us get our eyes off things of this world, even the good things? Start looking to him, author, finisher of our faith. Those disciples, I go back to them, they could not understand. This is our temple. This is God's house. And Jesus, oh, but there's one greater than the temple here, Christ Jesus. So could it be Jesus already proclaimed it's going to happen in the last days? Men and lovers are themselves, and they'll be against one another, and they'll deceive and false religion. There's always been, and look at the book of Acts now. Jesus, before the temple was destroyed, look what happened. The book of Acts says there was martyrs. Stephen was preaching the precious word of God and telling the Jews the error of their ways. You kill the prophets, God sent you prophets, and you wouldn't hear. Not only wouldn't you hear, but you killed them. And then God sent his only son, and they stoned him to death. And then we see Paul, how he was stoned, and what was he doing? Preaching the gospel. Now, if you proclaim the gospel in America, you're not well liked, and it's getting worse. But that's okay. We're going to look how Christ is going to take care of all that. He said there would be betrayal. Look what he says in verse 9 and 10 again. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations. Why? For my name's sake. Christ trusted us, and he trusted Paul, and he trusted Stephen. And he allowed them to go through all these things, even suffering death. Why? For his namesake. And don't even think that Jesus has done wrong in doing that, because when we suffer for his namesake, then lift up your head, your redemption draweth nigh, and click up your heels and say, thank God I am worthy to be suffering for his sake. So as we suffer and as we go through in the future the things that Jesus would have us suffer, it's for his name's sake. It's for his honor and for his glory. And then there will be betrayals, and there will be disloyalty. people will say one thing and people will proclaim and try to say I'm for Christ, but when it comes down to it, if they don't stand for the truths of God's word, you can't be for Christ. Jesus says, if you're for me, then you're going to stand for me. There's many that says one thing and will do something else. So we see disloyalty, we see sedition, agitation, and we see treason. Treason is someone that is in a nation, and whether they're an ambassador or whether they're a citizen of that nation, to do something to betray the nation. I love America. I would never do anything to hurt America. Even more so, I love the Lord Jesus Christ. I would never think or even do anything to bring reproach on the name of Jesus in this world. And we don't know what we're going to go through. We may be going through a lot worse than we are now. But he's saying the end is not yet. And if we do, we know why he's allowing us to do it. For his name's sake. And anything he allows and permits has got to be good. And if I have to suffer reproach, and may even have to go. We don't know anything yet, but we do know that these things are coming and it's going to get worse. You say you shouldn't preach discouraging messages. It's not discouraging to me at all, because if I can say he has allowed this to happen to me for his name's sake, for my good, all things work together for the good of those that love the Lord, I believe that verse. I believe everything Jesus said in this precious word and all the prophets and all the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that came upon men to write. I believe every word of the precious word of God. So I take it and I reverence it and I uphold it. And I thank God for our nation. I thank God for what it stands for. And when men and seducers wax worse and worse, it doesn't give us a right to do anything but pray for them. And when they do harm to us, pray for them. Because we realize that what Jesus did. Could Jesus have stopped the demolition of the temple? Of course he could. Could God have stopped that from happening? Of course he could. He chose not to. Could Jesus have kept Stephen from getting stoned? Of course he could. He chose not to. And Stephen now is a martyr. Can you imagine? Jesus now stood up. And Stephen said, he looked up in heavens, and there was standing the Son of God. It takes a lot to get Jesus to stand off his throne. But when he looked down at that wonderful Stephen, one time I read a commentary, I felt like throwing it in the river, but been trashing. And the commentary was trying to say, if Stephen had only not said those things, they wouldn't have killed him. Don't you realize Stephen was saying the things God told him to say? And to question anything in God's word is beyond my ability to even reason with. Things happen according to the will of God, and it does in my life and yours. I can't even go there. My mind can't comprehend not believing and accepting everything Jesus said about the end time, about my suffering for his name's sake. It doesn't matter if he said it. It's for my good. I don't understand that. But I surely do believe it. Not only pursuit and lack of protection, but now let's look at lastly, proclaiming. Yeah, he said in the last days there's going to be a lot proclaiming going on, verses 11 through 14. Let's see what he said about this proclaiming. More than ever, we have the internet, and people, they say, haven't been to Africa in a long, long time and haven't been overseas in a long, long time, and tell you the truth, don't ever plan to go in again unless God tells me to. And I've always said, even when I got called to preach, even when I got saved, I just said, Lord, I'll do anything you want me to do, but I sure hope it's not go to China. I don't know why I said that, but from the time I was a little boy, I'll do anything you want me to do, and I will, but I sure hope. It's the only dread I've ever had, and I don't know why that is. But now in the last days, let's read these verses of Scripture, 11 through 14. We'll talk about, first of all, proclaiming by false prophets. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Revelation teaches us that in the last days, the Laodicean church, they left their first love. You know why America's in the fix it's in? Because the children of God and God's kingdom, and those that redeem, we've lost, for the most part, our first love. If we'd have stayed on our knees in the stage where God wants us to be, America wouldn't be in the shape it's in. So I can't lay it to Congress. I can't lay it to the president or any other president. I just put it where God puts it. If my people, which are called with my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. We do it in word. But only he judges and he can. And as he judges this morning, have we done it in our heart? Have we really humbled ourselves? Have we really sought to serve him and are willing to suffer anything for his name's sake that he puts up without griping and without bitterness? Oh, all this pandemic. Sure, we've all complained. But he says in the last days, and we're in the end times, remember, when these things happen for our good, for his glory, we have to accept that and believe that. Let's read the scripture together in verse 12. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Why did the love of many wax cold? Because of sin and iniquity unforgiven in their hearts. Because that caused us to lose our love for God. Like the last church, Laodicean church. We lost our first love. Oh, but thank God we can repent and get it back. Now, I'm an old farmer boy. I was reared on the farm, and I realized Mom and Dad taught me there are certain kind of thistles. If you see one in the cow pasture, don't ever let that thistle bloom and have seeds, because if it does, it'll scatter, and that one thistle plant will have thousands and thousands. Now, cut it down, boys, and dig it up by the roots, my brother and I were told. We were told that lovingly. And I still hate thistles. But every deed, God forgives them, of course. But the deeds we do after we're saved have deep roots. And if we do it to the glory of God, there'll be rewards. And what we do after we're saved is sow discord and sow disloyalty and iniquity, deep roots. Too late, it'll come up. It'll spread to your families, to your loved ones, and to your children and your grandchildren. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Look at verse 13. But he shall, that he shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. He's not talking about that we have to endure and be perfect to go to heaven. No, no, no. Be saved from all the wrath and all the things. Yeah, it doesn't say we won't have trouble and even be put in prison and all that. But we won't have to worry about it because he'll be by our side. You see, if our sins are forgiven constantly and all the things we have in our heart that's not right constantly have forgiven, we'll be saved from all the hate and all the bitterness and all the corruption. We may go through it, but you see, you can go through something and not be harmed. If God allows something in my life to bring him glory, don't you know he's going to be there with me? Paul and Silas were in the prison for preaching the gospel, and they were beaten with stripes. And because they loved God, they had a song at midnight. It brought deliverance, did it not? The pain was still there, but I got to believe the joy of the Lord was so rich in it, it overcame the physical hurt. And that's what he's talking about. But not only the false prophets, look at the next verse. Verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all the nations. Thank God there is biblical preaching going on in the world today. You have to sort. You have to be aware because there's many false prophets there. He told us that first. But if you know the Word of God bears witness, the Spirit of God bears witness that that is true, and we support them and we bless the name of God for sending them, but Jesus takes care of all that. So in the last days, before the end times, the gospel will go forth. Missionaries are still going. They're getting killed. Yes, they are. But many of them are delivering the true word of God. And our job is to pray and seek his face. And the last thing he says in that verse, and there shall, and then shall the end come. That is the end before the church is raptured. And then the tribulation sets in. You see, we don't go through the tribulation. We go through sorrows. We go through a lot of hurt until the end time. But right now, somewhere in the future, whether it's tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, 10 years, we're in the last days. And the preaching and the proclaiming of God's word is going forth. Yes, there's false witnesses out there. God takes care of that. And if we're saved and redeemed, we know the difference. Many don't know the difference. We need to pray for them. Would you stand this morning, your heads bowed? Randy, have a song God put on your heart this morning. The last days, we'll go through problems. For his name's sake, that's okay. And the reason he is allowing things is that we may preach and proclaim and have an opportunity and the platform to preach to people that would never listen before. But now many of them are listening. People being brought to conviction because they know, may be lost, but they know we're in the last days. And then the end shall come. The end of this world as it is with all the Gentile nations and the unrepentant Jews. But the church of God will be raptured home. Are you in that number? Separation time this morning. The Jews, the Gentiles, and the church of God. Yes, the church of God will suffer. But it'll be a short suffering. And then we'll be called home the day of deliverance. Coronation day. Ascension. And then when we all get home, we'll crown him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Are you in God's number this morning? If not, altar's open. Please come. God's convicted. God's drawing. Will you listen, Brother Randy?